Now we're going to start looking at the text. The theme of these texts is care for the poor. You'll notice that frequently when we're in cycle C, because cycle C is Luke, and Luke has a great sensitivity to the poor and to women. And if you just read any introduction to a commentary on Luke, and you'll see this accent. Another interesting thing about Luke is that he often has pairs, a man and a woman. And so from that, you see this care, and a care for man and woman. Very interesting in Luke. Now, this first text is from the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 4 to 7. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and destroy the poor of the land, the Amoharites. The poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, that we may open the grain bins? We will diminish the ephah and add to the shekel and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the destitute for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the worthless grain we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob. This is terrifying. Never will I forget a thing they have done. Never will I forget a thing they have done. If they have persecuted the poor, they have cheated the poor, if they're getting rich by manipulating the poor, I will never forget it. That's what he's saying. Now, these people can run to the Lord and be forgiven, but if they don't, I will never forget it. That's very powerful. And so, this is Amos. Amos was a farmer or a vine dresser, it's hard to know. He lived in a little town called Tekoa. It's called Tekoa today. I think I've mentioned this before. If you're standing in Bethlehem, on the east side of Bethlehem, and look across the plain, you could just make out this little town of Tekoa. That's where Amos is from. Still there. I think I've told this story before. There is a family that moved from Tekoa into Bethlehem. Well, you can see them. You know, so you're not coming from California. That was like a century ago. And to this day, they're still called the strangers. Different culture, isn't it? We move in and out of an apartment in Brooklyn. We don't know anybody. They don't know us. Anyway, you who trample on the needy and destroy the poor of the land, that's the Amoharites, or the Ane, the Anawim. Anawim. Anav means bent over, weak. The Anav means those who can't be big shots. Now, our Lord says, learn of me because I am meek and Anav, or Anav and weak. Huh? It means a person with a broken heart. That's why in Matthew, you see, you have blessed are the poor in spirit. It means blessed are the Anawim. And Jesus says, remember, learn of me. I'm one of the Anawim. I'm one of these poor people. It's a great book by Albert Jeunet called The Poor of Yahweh. It's in English, and it's a great meditation if you get a chance. Our Lady is one of the Anawim. Jesus is one of the Anawim. No big shots, no connection with the mayor, no, and living depending on God. And so, see, hear this, you who trample on the needy and destroy the Amoharites. In this text, it's the Anvearites, the Anawim of the land. What are you doing? When will the new moon be over? That is the celebration. So we can get back to business. We don't want to be all this religious celebration. It's bad for business. You know, in Jerusalem, all the Jews close their shop on Shabbat, Saturday, which is means a loss of a great opportunity because all the tourists are walking around Jerusalem on Saturday. But if somebody wants to leave his shop open, he risks having people throw rocks right through his windows. So rather than do all that, they stay shut. Okay, this is very important. Shabbat is Shabbat. And it's measured, as I've told you before, the week, rather the month, the year. You see, all of these, the day, are all measured by the movement of the sun and the moon and the star. Shabbat is measured by the word of God. Keep holy the Shabbat. It's God's ordinance. It's not built into the cosmos. But it's a place where we can see that the cosmos is caught up into the life of God's people. As I've said before, you see, it's not that the church is in time, it's that time is in the church. And so, to offend this is serious, you see. When will the new moon be over, that we may sell our grain on the Sabbath, that we may open the grain bins? Now that the Shabbat is over, we can work. We can't otherwise. People will be a little bit offended, unless we're on the edge of town and people know we're open and they can go there and buy stuff. But that's against the law of God. It's one of the Ten Commandments, to keep the Shabbat holy. You know, it's been some years now. I live not too far from a big mall. That big mall is doing like a land office business every Shabbat, every Sunday. Something wrong with this. People even say, well, I shop on Sunday, but I take Monday as a day of prayer. That'd be something, but they don't. And that is one of the things. If you want to get rich, you stay open on Sunday. And God is saying, woe to you, rich. You're not only stealing, you're breaking the fourth commandment. So watch it. You see, we will diminish the ephah, which is a measure. You want 3 ephahs of grain? Okay. But this thing is only 3/4 of an ephah. 1, 2, 3. So I just made 3/4 of an ephah for myself. By lying and cheating. Amos is strong on this. The economic exploitation of the poor in the north. He's a southerner, and he's sent up to the north to preach. It's like a northerner going to the south today in this country to go preach. Who the heck are you coming from the north to come down here and tell us what we're supposed to do? And so the prime minister of the northern kingdom goes to Amos and says, go on back south and earn your money there, prophet, because some prophets prophesy for money, see? So you're trying to make money, go back and do it in the south. Don't come up here. And Amos says, listen, I am no prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. The Lord told me to come and do this, and I'm doing it because he told me to do it. So go tell your king, watch it. Because you're exploiting the poor, and you will pay the price. And so, that's when the prime minister goes to tell Amos to go home. Even worthless grain we will sell. You know, we'll get some of the chaff or the grain that's too old. We'll mix it. And a bushel of grain, it might be even 2/3 or 5/6 real grain. But that extra little bit, by the end of the day, that adds up. And I've made the price of an extra 5 or 6 bushels just by cheating. And do they think God doesn't see this? Now, what does he see in our modern business practices? With some notable exceptions of companies and of human beings, he sees stealing, deception, false advertising, anything to make money. And he sees it. And when everybody's open on Sunday, he sees that too. You see? We will buy the destitute for silver. You know, we'll buy a slave and make him our slave. He's so broke. And the poor for a pair of sandals. And we'll even get rid of the worthless grain. Then you have these terrifying words. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. These rich who are exploiting the poor, do you think they're going to get away with it? Even if they get away with it till they die. The Lord is going to show that, hold it up to them. This is what you did to me. Whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did to me. Augustine, in one of his homilies, has like a prophecy. He says, the Lord says, I am in glory. I am in bliss. I am surrounded by angels and saints. I am in deep union with my Father. But on earth, I still suffer hunger and want and neglect and mockery. I suffer them here on earth. And that's, see, though the Lord swore by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget a thing they have done. You think you're getting away with it? You're not. This is powerful, isn't it? You see, this is addressed to the rich. Not that the poor can't steal too, but the rich have greater advantages and they can steal more. And of course, they have a friend in the court, so they probably never get hauled before the court. And the Lord is saying, remember, I will never forget what you've done. I will never forget it. So the psalm, of course, is going to talk about that. It says here, this is Psalm 113, verses rarely, well, 1 to 8, skipping a couple in the between. Actually, only skipping verse 3. I don't know why they do that. Praise, you servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. That's the refrain. Who lifts up the poor, who helps them. You see, high above all nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high and looks upon the heavens and the earth below? He sees what's going on. And that's why the psalm goes on to say, he's looking, lirot, from Shemayim unto the earth. He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor to seat them with princes, with the princes of his own people. I will take care of the poor. Don't you see what a divine vocation it is to care for the poor? You're doing what God does. You care for the poor. You're God's emissary. You're caring for the poor. So there are people who go and spend the night caring for those who have AIDS in one of the places where the sisters, you know, where the Teresa sisters work. They're doing what they can. But one day, when the Lord stands there and says, thank you. I had AIDS. I was frightened. I was suffering. And you came. And you cared for me. You're going to, Jesus, you had AIDS? I mean, he's going to say, whatever you did to the least of my brethren, you did to me. And these are the least of my brethren. These poor people. See? And that's why, you see, we have this beautiful text. See? Seating them with the Nedivim, with the princes of his people. That's just quite beautiful, right? Princes of his people, he seats them with. And, praise the Lord is the refrain, depending on which one they use in church, who lifts up the poor, who cares for the poor. Amen.